Hello, and welcome to My Music. This is a music department podcast where members of the Waldingham community share with us three pieces of music that have importance in their life. Today's guest is Phil Abbott. People,
keep on learning. Well, hello everybody, and thank you Mr. Hargreaves for allowing me to come on this podcast and be self-indulgent and share some of my thoughts and passions in music. It's really difficult, Desert Island Discs, this idea of choosing three songs that you can't live without, because I don't really do favourite songs. I think it's an almost impossible thing to do. I'm kind of the same with films. It's really hard to say these are my three favourite songs, because songs mean different things to you and touch you and resonate with you in different ways at different times, and they fill a different need. You know, they press a different button in your brain, and they sort of scratch a different itch at different times. So it's been virtually impossible there for me to say these are my three favourite songs. So I've slightly cheated. I'm going to say who are the three artists or who are the three songwriters that I definitely could not live without the music of and would need to take their music onto the desert island, and then I will just choose whatever feels right in that moment. So even that was quite difficult, to be honest, and I have to have a few honourable mentions of people who could easily have written songs that would warrant being packed in my suitcase for the desert island. James Taylor, Eels, Richard Everett of Eels, Beck, Elvis Costello, Peter Gabriel. There's quite a few really. But what I've decided to do is I have decided to settle on a song from Ben Folds, incredible pianist and songwriter. Neil Finn, who is the New Zealander and crafter of magical songs, including the Crowded House catalogue. And I'm going to choose the Beatles. Many of you know that I'm a big Beatles fan. I'm also choosing them because that's another cheat. There you go, I've cheated twice already, because I'm kind of working on the basis that I can have the solo career stuff as well of all of the Beatles. So that's what's coming your way. But let's get started with a chap called Ben Folds. So I first encountered Ben Folds, it must have been 1997, when a guy lived in the room next door to me in our house. He lent me the album Whatever and Ever Amen by Ben Folds 5, which is a three-piece band that he had. And they were really interesting because there's no guitar, it's just piano, bass, drums. And yeah, I really quickly got into this kind of, you know, it had almost punky feel to it, you know, this real sort of spirit. But equally, Ben Folds, you know, can craft the most sort of touching sort of ballads as well, and stories about people's lives and so on. He's got a really interesting range as a songwriter. In fact, actually, that's one of the things that strikes me about the three people that I've chosen that I hadn't really thought about before. But they're all capable of writing such different songs. So they can do an absolute rocker, and then they can make you cry. And you usually get that whole range of those songs across an album. I think that's probably one of the things that I really like about them, is that there's always that sense of variety. So the track that I've chosen for Ben Folds is a track called The Luckiest, which was from his first solo album, which is called Rocking the Suburbs. And I've chosen it because I think it's a beautiful song. I think it's a beautiful love song. And it displays one of the things that I really like about him when he does love songs. Is he doesn't write your sort of typical love song lyrics, you know, about I love you, but he often finds really interesting ways to express, you know, really powerful and deep feelings in a kind of slightly unconventional way. And this is a special song to me because it was very special for me, and it's special for my wife. It was played at our wedding while we were signing the registers. So I hope you like it. This is The Luckiest.
Next door, there's an old man who lived to his 90s and one day passed away in his sleep. And his wife, she stayed for a couple of days and passed away.
Okay, we need to talk about Neil Finn now. Neil Finn is probably the greatest songwriter that you haven't really heard of. You know, he is very much known, and I guess he's sort of a songwriter in a way. You know, members of Radiohead will drop what they're doing to go and play in his backing band, you know, for a week's worth of concerts in New Zealand. Or Elvis Costello will say, I'd have chopped my right arm off to have written Into Temptation and so on. But that doesn't mean you won't be familiar with his work. He was the frontman and songwriter of Crowded House, or still is in the form that they currently still exist. So you'll know Don't Dream It's Over, I expect, not least because Ariana Grande gave it the treatment, I think, didn't she? And in 93, they released what I think was their fourth album, following on from Woodface, which was pretty successful, and that had the sort of the poppy, catchy hits like Weather With You that you might know. But this album was a real breakthrough. It was produced by Youth, who was, and to some extent still is, a very sort of edgy, you know, trendy, sought-after producer. And it was a great album, and it really kind of cut through for the first time and put them almost into that kind of slight, almost U2 kind of, you know, international stadium type band. They were just sort of heading in that direction, and then for whatever reason, Neil decided to disband the group after that. But it was such a strong album. They were winning sort of the big awards, you know, best international group at the Brits and stuff like that, when it actually meant something to win a Brit. So one of the singles, great song, Distant Sun, I bought the cassette single of that, which was a great song. But the thing was, the B-side to it, and I appreciate the younger members of the audience might be really confused by this idea of buying singles and B-sides, but you can go and Google that or whatever. The B-side to it was called Walking on the Spot, which is a really kind of sort of haunting, sort of melancholic, but really beautiful song. And I thought, well, God, if that's their B-side, how good must this group be? And so I bought the album, and then that was it. I was sort of hooked then, and always have been on Neil Finn's work. So I've decided, because that album was the one where I first kind of jumped, you know, full in, I should choose something from that album. And the one I've chosen is the title track, actually, which is To Get Together Alone, because probably maybe for obvious reasons, but in terms of the times that we're in at the moment, Together Alone feels like, you know, the right kind of sentiment for us as a community. You know, we're alone, but we're still very much together. So that's why I've chosen it. The other reason I've chosen it is because I had a bit of a mea culpa in the Sixth Form Assembly the other day. We were talking music, and I confessed to having a music library, which is probably not the most diverse. You know, it tends to be a bunch of white, middle-aged, or older now, blokes with guitars. But one thing I've always liked about Neil Finn and his brother, Tim, who's also a really talented songwriter and musician, is that because they're from New Zealand, they have always kind of embraced elements of that sort of South Pacific sound, whether it's a ukulele here or the percussion there or a Maori choir here. And I love the South Pacific sound. I love that music. It's one of the reasons I was really just unexpectedly delighted by Moana when I took my daughter to see it, which was not as it's a good film and it's really nice to have a, you know, Disney princess who doesn't need some dappy bloke to come and tell her the difference between left and right. But also just because the soundtrack was that kind of sound and I'd absolutely dig it. So I've also chosen Together Alone, therefore, because it is one of the tracks where he uses a Maori choir and the drumming and so on. So I thought that's been fitting to choose it for that reason as well. So I really hope that you like it. This is Together Alone by Crowded House. Together alone, shallow and deep, holding our breath, paying death no heed. Still your friend. Yeah. So my mum had the vinyl of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. And I think probably one of my earliest musical memories is singing along to When I'm 64 in the kitchen of a house that we grew up in. I don't know why, but obviously something, you know, clicked, something switched on there. And I've been a massive Beatles fan ever since. I remember going to Poland in 1989, I think it was. And you could like to pick up these bootleg, you know, cassette tape copies for about 10p equivalent it was. So I was like filled up, absolutely filled my boots on every Beatles album and then kind of never looked back. So I guess that was, you know, I was about 10 at the time. And so it's kind of been a long love story really ever since then. And that then has inevitably meant that I have then, you know, gone down the various wormholes of the solo careers of the Beatles after they split. And I am an unashamed Macophile. I just love Paul McCartney and his genius for melody, for songwriting, for everything. So, yeah, I can spend many a happy day poodling through his back catalogue. And I've chosen a song from that, from the album Ram, which was his second solo album after the Beatles. He recorded it in 1970, I think it was released in 71. And I think it's probably my favourite of his solo albums, although his recent stuff actually has been really strong. Egypt Station and McCartney 3 and stuff. But yeah, this album Ram from 71, probably my favourite of all of his albums. And the track I've chosen is Uncle Albert, Admiral Halsey. And I think it's because, again, I think it was one of the earlier songs that I heard of his in terms of solo material that really just struck me as being sort of just different and interesting and kind of made me happy. It's a song in three parts, so it's going to be a bit strange. So I think you're only going to hear about 90 seconds of it unless you then go and listen to it afterwards. So you're actually going to hear the first part of what is essentially a song in three parts, which is kind of a very McCartney thing to do, sort of cobbling together different songs and different ideas. And it's a song that's just always made me happy. It's just always made me feel happy. And I think that's kind of part of the reason that I've chosen it. And I think what's really interesting is that the second my kids heard it, and I'm not that kind of like, you know, dad who just, you know, inflicts my music on my children and tries to indoctrinate them. I just hope it will happen pretty much by osmosis. But it's really interesting that this is one track that absolutely just caught their imagination. I didn't say gather around kids, listen to this. It was just in the car. And then before you knew it, they were saying, what's this, dad? Or saying, you know, dad, play that song with the hands across the water bit, you know, which is a line in it. So I thought that was really interesting. So it makes me happy that it makes them happy and that they really love it. And it touched them at sort of a young age in the way that it did me. And that's interesting. I think that makes it a really powerful thing that I think can transcend generations and race and everything else. So I hope you like it as well. It's kind of quirky, but it's just awesome McCartney being awesome.
Many thanks to today's guest, and I hope you'll join us again in the next episode of My Music.
Teachers, keep on teaching. Preachers, keep on teaching.